What's up, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of Off the Record. I'm your host, Imogen Marshall, and as always, please remember to rate, review, and subscribe to the podcast, and to follow us on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. All the details are on our website at www.offtherecorduk.com. Now, first, of course, we've got the news. So it's been a really exciting week in the world of country music. This week, we, the Destination Country team, will be hosting Gillian Jacklin for a happy half hour on the 10th of September. If you want to get the chance to ask Gillian a question or watch her play some songs, then obviously sign up for our Patreon. Blanco Brown has been involved in a head-on car crash, so he's in ICU, so thoughts go to him. The CMA 2020 nominees are revealed. For the first time in four decades, two women are up for the CMA Entertainer of the Year award. That's Miranda Lambert and Carrie Underwood. And of course, Luke Combs has been nominated for the that really prestigious award for the first time. So congratulations to him. Really interesting debates going on around why Kelsey Ballerini and Kane Brown were snubbed for the award. But really exciting, really seeing some like fresh new talent coming through. Ingrid Andress is up for a few awards for Song of the Year with More Hearts Than Mine, and obviously New Artist of the Year. And Gabby Barrett has also been nominated for New Artist of the Year. The full list of CMA 2020 nominees is up on our site, so make sure to go and check that one out. In terms of release for this week, Carly Pearce released her new single, Next Girl, which obviously people are reading into because of her recent announcement of her divorce from Michael Ray. But it really brings back her 90s country love, and I absolutely loved this track. It's such a banger. Definitely go and check it out. Hardy has also released his debut record, A Rock, which is absolutely phenomenal debut album. I loved this. It's got some really phenomenal standout tracks like A Rock and Boyfriend, and it's a really diverse rock edge sound that definitely is worth checking out. Another really artist that should be on your radar is Lauren Elena. She released her new EP, Getting Over Him, and it really pushes her boundaries in terms of her songwriting and charting her breakups, and it's definitely a much more mature direction in the trajectory of her songwriting. So definitely go and listen to that one. And that's been your news for this week. Now, for this week's podcast, we're featuring the amazing guys of Exit 216, who are a new and up-and-coming duo. Absolutely love their first track, Brother. Go and check that one out. So please welcome Accent 216.
Hello, how are you?
I'm great. How are you doing today?
Not too bad, thanks. London has finally stopped raining, which makes a shocking change.
That's awesome. It's just so crazy how technology works that we're talking to you from Nashville and you're in London.
I know. Well, that's kind of one of the nice things about the pandemic. I feel like everyone's lives have kind of slowed down a tiny bit, so people can actually... You can actually kind of find the time to talk to people, whereas usually everyone's schedules are so filled up.
They're crazy. I agree.
Unless people are over here, it's like you don't really get the chance to speak to people that much.
For sure. Yeah. And for me and Cole, like, it's been crazy because, like, you know, we thought like the first buzz single we put out would just kind of be like, yeah, you know, like a regular new artist buzz single, but we've been able to talk to so many people.
It's really good.
In the US. And so it's been pretty cool, you know. So thank you.
No, not at all. Have you guys felt that you've been inspired at all during the quarantine, or has it kind of all just sort of slowed down a lot? Because I know some people got so inspired and they're writing their best music ever, and some people are like, I literally cannot, like, my brain just doesn't work.
I mean, I think it's bittersweet for me because, like, when me and Cole first got together, like, I must admit, not Cole as much as me. I mean, he's not even close, but I was definitely freaked out by, like, the COVID stuff that was going on and, you know, just everything. So I kind of went in lockdown mode for a little bit, and then we got out the house and started doing, like, little stuff here and there. And, you know, for me, I'm still kind of getting adjusted, you know, because it did take me back a little bit. But I know Cole was out doing his thing and stuff, but he hasn't been affected by it. He's Superman, so he doesn't get affected by it. I'm the guy that was like, I need a little break on life right now. So, cool for us.
And it must have been kind of like the weirdest time, because you probably, like, when you kind of came together as a duo, you're probably like, I don't know when it all sort of happened, but probably was not really on the radar, this whole situation and like stopping touring and things. So felt very frustrating.
Would you say, Cole?
I said, no, it was not.
No, I mean, just imagine all that. Me and Cole were just talking about the other day. We were like, yo, just imagine all the shows we would be doing with the kind of hype we got with our project. Like, it's been really hyped up very well. Like, I got people hitting me all the time. Like, I'm seeing you guys on my feed and seeing all these articles about y'all. So So if we had live shows on top of it, it would definitely be crazy. But we're gonna just do
the best. Yeah, it's probably one of those very strange things because you're kind of like navigating it and thinking, oh, what would we have been doing kind of if this hadn't been happening? But then at the same time, people have also taken a moment to reflect a bit, and like people are probably more open to new artists in a way they might not necessarily been before when they're kind of just going straight for the huge shows. So it's probably been a kind of like weird, kind of grateful for this, but not for this.
Yeah, for me, it was kind of like the hustle just turned on too. Like, you know, for me, just like this has been the time that I feel like people have been more apt to talk to new artists that they might have been before. So for me, it was like, it was just perfect timing just to like, you know, just meet new people, reach out and just, you know, get these interviews going, people to just kind of just on their radar kind of thing. So it's been kind of good also for it.
Yeah, and obviously your both your stories are so different in terms of like how you came to the duo and how you came to exit 216. And kind of, I guess, can you talk a bit about both your backgrounds and how you've both grown up in music in terms of how that shaped you now to come together as a duo?
Sure, go ahead, Cole.
Steven's from Savannah, Georgia. I'm from Nashville. I'm from here, born and raised. And, you know, Steven had a bunch of incredible success in Los Angeles. He was encouraged by a friend of his to try to come to Nashville and write here and try to write a country hit, and of course he did in One Number Away by Luke Combs.
Just that little, you know, that little song.
Just a massive number one, something I was singing literally in high school with of my, little did I know, you know, I would be, you know, writing songs and singing with the guy who wrote it. A funny little story is when the first time that I met Steven, like the first time we got together in the studio, first thing I asked him, I said, "Hey, can you show me the voice memo of when you started to sing One of my Way? I want to hear that." And he showed me, like in his bed, like 3 a.m. And he's like, "I'm on another way." And I'm like, "Oh my God."
You're like music history right there.
This is it right here. Goosebumps just went down my arm. Stuff, but anyway, he found me. He was looking for, you know, another guy to do this with, and he found me through a mutual friend of ours,
Keegan.
And he asked that guy's name's Keegan. He said, "Yeah, ask Keegan. Is there a guy that could sing?" And Keegan was like, "I know just the guy." And he sent a text to me, and the rest is history.
It was meant to be. And Steve, in terms of like, because obviously you had like come from such pop production background, kind of when was the moment that you decided actually country music was your calling, and that, and then obviously had huge success with One Number Away, so when did you kind of make the decision to move, I guess?
It was in Cali. Me and my brother, we had a production team called Jackie Boys. I don't know if you heard of that a long time ago, but we were like an R&B kind of duo and whatever. But we did a lot of interesting stuff. We started off together singing on the street. And for me and him, I just felt like around like 20, I'm 35 right now, but around like 27, I was like, man, we should start switching it up and changing our style a little more. Yeah. So I went to Miami. I got a condo in Miami, like going back and forth from Miami to LA and got into the Latin world. And I was like really exciting. I ended up working with one of the biggest Latin artists out there. I was working with Gloria Estefan. I wrote with Jim Carlos Canella. I was doing a lot of stuff with Telemundo and just
like little names.
Miami Heat games. It was just a great time. Wow. And then I got to a place where I was like, okay, either I'm going to dive into the Latin world or I'm going to try something new. And so for me, especially the Gemini that I am, I always got to try different stuff. Yeah. So they were like, you got to go to Nashville. So I ended up going to Nashville like 2014-15. Mm. And I went there and with an open mind, open heart, and I was just confident that I think I might get something going out there. And I ended up doing a lot of great things. I was actually one of the first, not the first, but one of the very first that even was interested in like signing Luke when Luke was just trying to get going. I was pretty much like, bro, I think I want to do a pub deal on you. It didn't work out, but
it's not weird thinking about the time when Luke Combs was like someone that people were like, I don't know.
Stories like, you know, no one wants to sign me. And I was like, bro, with your vocals, I was like, I'm shocked. He's like, yeah, man. He's like, no one wants to sign me. He was like, but I'm going to just keep grinding. I remember at the time he had an album already out with She's Got the Best of Me. You know, and it did like maybe like a few hundred, not even copies with his fans. And he was like, it did just enough for him to get back in the studio. I remember him telling me, he was like, I'm gonna take this little $2,000 or $3,000 and just work on like another album and just keep it going. And I was like, bro,
that's what you gotta do though. That's what, you know, that's the magic of the industry, I guess, in terms of country music. They always say like it's all about the hard work and kind of getting there, but it's also, it's hard.
It is hard. It's not. That's why even me and Cole, like we reflect off of what we've been getting, even talking to you, like it's very difficult to get people to pay attention to you in country. Especially right out the gate. It's more of like a 2 or 3 year grind. You said what, Cole? What'd you say?
Especially in a pandemic.
Yeah, let alone a pandemic. Exactly. So, you know, to do something like me and Cole, only been out a month, and you know, the YouTube is growing and the Facebook love is just amazing, and we're working on another video right now for another song we're going to put out soon. So, I mean, it's just been awesome. I mean,
I do think there's so much magic in terms of like, obviously you guys come back from very, very different backgrounds, and like even sonically, clearly you've got different sounds when you came together, but so you can hear all the different influences almost in both your vocals. When you first came together and like first of that initial kind of like writing session, was it so natural in terms of like what the sound was going to be like? Did you kind of play around with a few different sounds, or was it just like the most organic thing ever?
This is a two-part question, because you gotta go
sorry, after I'm this, so like, many, that's what, different.
This is a great question. But me and Cole, we are truly brothers in music, like meaning like we both love experimenting with different type of like sounds and like, you know, even the lyrics. Sometimes I'm the older guy of the group, so sometimes I'll look at Cole and be like, is this cool? And he'll be like, I don't know if my generation would say that, you know.
But I don't know if all the country would be with that.
Exactly. So it's kind of cool, because the reason why I love working with Cole so much is I actually brought out the countryside in him more. And he ended up bringing me in more to the soul and the more bluesy kind of side. Cause no one wouldn't know that by looking at me and Cole, that he's a very, very soulful blues guy, you know? So it's an interesting play, because we both learn a lot from each other, from the world. And I'm definitely a little, probably more pop, just cause I've been doing it longer. And even me, I have to understand, you know, and just kind of sometimes like take that back a little bit, because pop is all about like sometimes the catchiness. And country is so much more about like, you know, just diving in more in depth with the lyrics. And I totally get it. But sometimes, you know, you always want to get that other opinion. And Cole is the perfect person and be like, yo, what do you think about this? What do you like? What do you don't like? Because his ear is just phenomenal, especially to be so young, you know?
That's so cool that like bringing out both those sides of each other. Because I feel like that's when, you know, you've hit some like musical gold, I guess, is when you're kind of like creating sounds that you wouldn't have done solo.
Yeah, you got to chime in on that, Cole, because you got to tell a little bit about your background, bro.
Yeah.
I think what Steven was saying about him bringing the country out of me, for my whole life, I didn't start playing music till I was like 14. Like, I didn't start playing guitar till I was 14. Like, I sang a lot, and I sang quite a bit growing up, but like rock and roll stuff, you know, like Journey and the Eagles and like all that kind of stuff. So I had that. Yeah, I had that in my like belt. You know, I loved all the songs. I sang those. But you know, 14 comes around and John Mayer was my biggest influence. Like I started listening to him, and I picked up a guitar, and it was like, okay, that's it. That's what I'm going for. I'm going for this blues pop sound. I'm like, I'm all about it. Like soul, Sam Cooke and like Marvin Gaye and you know, Donny Hathaway, all that kind of stuff was where I was sitting. And obviously I grew up in Nashville, so I know country. I listen to stuff on the side, but when I go and hang out with the boys like on a Saturday night, like it's always country, and I'm singing the songs.
Even his vibe, like it's just he has it. He has both, and that's great that he has the countryside, and he has the John Mayer, the soul, the bluesy, and that's what makes Exit 216, I think.
Never would I have thought I'd be playing country music, but I think it's great to starting something you didn't think you were going to start in. At one point I did want to play I wanted to get into country, but just not at the beginning. Mm-hmm. But thankfully, you know, Steven has like opened my mind up to No, you can start with this because it's really great because look at the past. Some of the best, biggest artists have come from country. Taylor Swift, for instance.
Yeah.
Dan and Shay. I think the genre is just evolving so much where, the record, it's Florida Georgia Line.
Yeah.
Because I always mess up the Georgia Florida because I'm from Georgia. So I always, people always get on me for that. So Florida Georgia Line.
It doesn't sound right in an English accent. Florida.
Exactly. The song with BB Rex, the, If It's Meant to Be record, record right there shows you one of the longest charters, number one country songs of all time. And it's a pop record. So it's definitely just like a lot of,
cool. Well, it's really just fresh influences, and it's a cool time to be in the genre. It's a
cool time to be in the genre, for sure.
Yeah. And obviously, the big intro to you guys was Brother, which I think James Dakin from Lyric Magazine, he sent me the track, and I was like, I love this. It's just something so special. It's so fresh. It's one of those songs that you kind of want to send to people and be like, this is what country sounds like now, because it's so current and different and unique. How long has that been in the pipeline, that song? Was that something you wrote with everything going on, or is it something you'd kind of had in the back of your head for a while?
I came to Cole with that. I actually wrote it with Drake White. I don't know if you heard of him. He's another country artist.
Yeah, he's a big UK fan favorite.
right? The last interview you had, we're trying to be just as big as not bigger.
Oh,
him.
Yeah, C2C headline stage. Come on, guys, that's the aim.
Those fans, Drake White, you need to bring him on to us, okay?
Exactly.
Go ahead and tell him all about us.
So, to chime in on that. So, me and Drake got in the studio around, I would say, May, if not June. No, end of May. And I remember telling Cole, like, yo, I got this song idea. I want to run by you. Would you jump on it? I think this could be a great first buzz single for us to put out, because we felt like with the conversation going on with the protests and just all the separation in the country, everything leading up to voting, everybody's choosing sides. And me and Cole were just like, man, like, let's do something that brings people together. No matter, how you were raised, how you look, let's try to just bring something about love and positivity and something that we can both like show our vocals. Cause I didn't want, me to have all the shine, or, not that I care about Cole getting all the shine, but we just wanted something that we both could sing on together and unify people and both show our talent. So that was a big part of the first single. And and just kind of getting the conversation going too on like,
I think the message is so powerful and just like the perfect introduction to you guys in terms of like what you want to say, and it's a powerful statement, but it's also it's showcasing your vocals and it's an incredible track.
Thank you. And we just feel like it was important. We have other songs. We're actually going to talk this week about what's the next song we want to shoot, but we wanted the first one to be meaningful and that someone could at least say, hey, this is different from what's going on now. It's not preachy, but at the same time, it's something that we think could be like a classic, kind of like What's Going On, Marvin Gaye,
or,
just one of those songs that just uplifts you in the right way and, just can be timeless. So that's what we want.
Yeah. So do you know what the next track's going to be like? Have you kind of...
We're kind of wrapping our head. We know we're shooting a video next month. We have the budget. We have everything we need. It's just a matter of what we decide on as a team that makes the most sense,
Do all those like precaution things that we all didn't have to think about before, and now it's suddenly
and speaking of that, we're doing a mixtape instead of a album right now, because we feel like we want to introduce people slowly to what we're doing, but we are probably going to release like the debut single January, and we're putting like all of that going into radio and really blowing that up, so that's the plan for us.
Well, that's the thing, people always be like, whenever they hear something fresh and new, they're like, just give me all of it. I want all your music now. And you're like, so music doesn't work like that. And we actually have to like wait and get in the studio and build up some traction. It doesn't quite work like that.
Exactly.
It's a funny world that we all live in. So I'm excited to hear that when it comes out. And again, congratulations on this single. I always just end with like a few shorter questions. Sure. So, who's most likely to know all the words to a rom-com off by heart?
Rom-com? A movie?
Yeah, like any romantic comedy off by heart. Which of you two is most likely to know all the words?
I'm gonna probably go me. She said, who would know the words off a rom-com? Like a romantic comedy. A romantic comedy. Movie.
Oh,
Out of you and me, and I'll probably say for sure me. I'm just because just by age, I'll probably just bring it on. Yeah.
Who's most likely to say something they shouldn't in an interview? Like, that's me. Who's most likely to forget the words on stage or on a live stream? Because I guess we're not on stage at the moment.
Gotta go cold again.
What? 100% is Steven. 100%.
No, forget the words.
Got words in a song.
I don't know. We kind of. I think we might be tired of that one. That might be a tie.
You got to one of our performances at the baseball thing.
I know, but you have too, bro. A few times, bro.
Not at a live performance.
I believe we go say town now. We go middle on that one. Let's say a tie.
Both get caught.
Who's most likely to turn up late to rehearsal?
Steve is usually the late one.
I'm the late one?
You were early, so yeah, we'll go with that one for that one.
By default, he got lucky on that one. But you know what? Hey, you know, I plead the fifth. Okay, next one. Okay, Cole. We tie on that one too. That's a tie.
And final two. So what are both your favorite things to do in Nashville? When everything's normal.
You can go ahead, Cole.
I'm doing it right now. But my favorite thing to do in Nashville, there's just like 9-hole golf course called Benny Links, and I don't know, it's like the best thing to do when you're I work here in Nashville. I'm in Nashville right now, and I wish I could go play a little 9-hole round of golf, but I can't.
Wow. And mine would just be hanging out. I got a dog, I got a golden doodle, so she keeps me busy. We like go to the dog park and I'll throw the ball at her. And that's kind of how I just kind of unwind and just, you know, kind of shut off the world for a little bit.
Yeah.
But me and Cole together, I mean, I think me and Cole both, we really love, you know, music. So, I mean, hopefully, like I said, we can be touring and hopefully on stage soon and even seeing you in person, hopefully by next year, you know. That would be the goal. Sure.
It would be That's really cool tough. To get to the UK. And then finally, just complete the sentence. So music is?
Music is everything and more to me. It's what got my career going. It's what makes me get up in the morning. I thank God for it every day.
Oh, I love that. Would you say the same, Colt?
Music is... John Mayer. No, I'm just joking.
John Mayer continuum through to whatever his latest stuff is.
Music is life.
Mm-hmm. Country music is.
Country music is amazing. It's the future, and we are the future of country music. That's what we believe. Exit 216, here to stay. Yeah.
And then finally, Exit 216 are.
Exit 216 is, like I said, it's the future. It's cool. It's diverse. It's one of a kind. It's the first of its kind. And like I said, we want to do something different and unique. And I think we're going to touch people's heart and really make a dent in the industry, a positive dent, but a dent.
Yeah. I love that. Well, thank you so much, guys, for taking the time to chat with me. I really appreciate it. And I'm just excited for everything. I feel like, yeah, if this first song is anything to go by, you guys are set for great things. So excited to see where your path takes you, I guess.
Thank you. We appreciate the support from, you
know,
London Love. I've been there once, and like I said, I will definitely be back after talking.
We will get you back over here, that's for sure.
We will be in London next year, so we want to thank you again for having us, and we appreciate your time.
Not at all. Have a great rest of your day, guys.
Thank you. Take it easy. Bye-bye.
Bye.
So thank you so much to Exit 216 for that. And that will do for another episode of Off The Record. Make sure to tune in next week where we've got the lovely Jamie Floyd on the podcast to talk all about her EP, New Girl. Have a great week. Bye, y'all.